This is an I Am Listening exclusive podcast.
I'm Noomi Gilder.
I'm Harriet Taylor.
And you're listening to Tech Girl Energy, the weekly debrief.
Our picks of this week's tech headlines.
And what we think of them.
We're aiming for 50% informative, 50% fun.
Let's dive in.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Tech Girl Energy, the weekly debrief. You've got myself, Harriet, here today.
And I'm Noomi. Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I am very good, very good. I'm excited to talk about what we've got in store for everyone today. So I'm going to dive straight into the first story that we've got. And it's been going around on social media, especially in the UK. But if you're not from the UK, there is a bank in the UK called Barclays. It's one of our main high street banks. And they had an app outage over the weekend. So they had a technical issue that impacted payments and transactions for customers. It's been resolved now, but they're still working on updating bank balances for some customers. Did you hear about this one at all, Naomi?
Yeah. So I saw it on the news. I have a Barclay card credit card, but I didn't go shopping this weekend, thankfully. So I didn't notice it. But it impacted a lot of people. It was in the UK as well. The 31st of January is the deadline for tax self-assessment. So if you're self-employed or you own your own business, those payments are due on January the 31st. So for weekends for it to happen, last weekend, not great.
Yeah, not ideal at all. And they've said that the technical issues were not caused by a cyber attack.
Yeah.
But they've not explained what's behind the problem or how many customers have been affected. So that's interesting.
Yeah, they've said it's like an IT issue. And I can kind of understand why they wouldn't, you know, come out and say, oh, this is exactly what happened, because you wouldn't want to broadcast a vulnerability, because then you could be susceptible to a cyber attack. But when stuff like this happens, it is just kind of like, it does really just check you for a second of how reliant we are on technology and how disruptive it can be when it goes wrong.
Yeah, like people want answers as well, but you can't always get them. So, yeah. I mean, it sounds like HMRC are working closely with the bank to minimise the impact on what's happened to anyone that failed to, you know, submit their sort of tax returns or self-assessments on time. It should be okay if they're in Barclays.
Yeah, they were saying that late payment penalties don't apply actually until the 1st of March, which is good to know as someone who has to do a self-assessment. There was an issue last year that affected multiple banks, and I was someone who was affected, and it happened on payday weekend that time as well, which is obviously when a lot of people are making transactions. You know, they're moving money into different accounts, they're paying their mortgage or their rent. And it is weird when you have that moment where you're like, oh, I know I've been paid this money, but now I can't access it.
You know what it makes me think of? Do you remember what happened in Greece? I cannot remember what year it was, but it was when the crunch happened. Was it the credit crunch, the crisis? Mm. I can't remember what we call it. But one of my friends lived in Athens at the time, and apparently, like, to begin with, everyone's bank account just got frozen. No one could access the money that they personally owned in their account. And then eventually they changed. I think you could take a maximum amount every day, which I guess we kind of have in England, but it felt like you had money, but you literally could not access the money that you had because of what happened to the banks. But I'm just reading part of this article now as well, and it says, in response to one user who said they were unable to access their account, the bank posted a link to Trussell Trust, which is a food bank charity. Now, that feels a bit...
I mean, I don't think Barclays handled the communication side of this very well at all. Like, they were responding to people saying, oh, reach out to your friends and family, or, you know, go to a food bank. And that just comes across as like very tone deaf to me and insensitive.
It's like pushing their problem onto other people when they've caused it.
And not everyone can rely on their family and friends for financial support. I think it is interesting, the more reliant we are on completely digital systems, it does make me think about,
like, if something goes
wrong, I need to have like a spare bit of money in my mattress or something?
Yeah, just like a backup plan. Honestly, because it is like, we can't even assume or rely on food banks either, because they're stretched to their limits right now. And we shouldn't have to in a society of our sort of economic status, shall we say?
Like, yeah, why? And you shouldn't have to go to a food bank when you have, when you, you know, you've been paid that money because of a technical issue.
I wonder if people get compensation, because apparently people on X have been asking, saying they're still facing problems and they've been asking for compensation. So let's see what happens, I guess.
Moving on from banking apps to, well, it's kind of still linked because it's from, it's from a banking app having a problem to scammers. I love this. This has actually been developed by O2. Because obviously, you know, you get a lot of scams that happen over the phone. So people calling you, people texting you. So one of the ways that they were talking about how to combat fraud for their customers, they had a team of computer scientists develop an AI who acts like a granny to frustrate scammers. So the point is that the scammers get so frustrated and annoyed by this AI that they then don't scam that person, or it wastes their time so they can't scam a real person.
Yeah.
So she's called Daisy, and she will ask about cups of tea. She will talk about knitting patterns. Her task is to simply waste the time of people who are trying to scam her. So she'll just dither around. In one of the calls that O2 released of her in action, a scammer was trying to take control of her computer, telling her that it was riddled with viruses and he'd fix it for her. And she just spent ages pretending to look for her glasses and try and turn the machine on and find the Internet Explorer icon. And I really quite like this version of internet vigilantism. It's just an AI of a grandma wasting people's time.
Oh, I love this. You know what? I've got a few colleagues at work who, I would never do this. Like, if I see a call coming in, I don't really know who it's from, I won't answer the phone. But my co-workers, my friends, they now answer every single phone and act like they have no idea what's going on.
Oh, amazing.
And so eventually they're like, I'm not quite sure what you're after. And then they put the phone down. But they'll be on the phone for 5 minutes and I'm next. I'm like, wow, you have a lot of patience to carry on doing this. I'm like, why are you even engaging? But then I'm like, you know what? Like, it's kind of like this, but not as efficient.
Yeah, wasting their time, and it stops them from spending that time, you know, actually affecting someone who's vulnerable and could get scammed.
So how do you actually use this? That's what I want to know. Like, say I wanted to hook this up, how would I do it?
I don't know if they've made it as a product that you can apply, but I think what they've done is they baited the number online. So they put the number in lots of places where scammers would skim for that information to try and get them to call her. So I think the idea is that it's almost like they're tempting people to thinking she's a real person.
A honey trap.
And then wasting their time so they can't call real people.
Said
over a few weeks she wasted each fraudster's time for up to 40 minutes.
Nice.
I mean, I'm thinking, what are these fraudsters doing? You know, like, how patient are they being that they're waiting 40 minutes to try and... I'd be like, this is a lost cause, I'm going to the next one.
Right, but I'm just thinking now, like, imagine if at some point though you literally get the AI scammers talking to the AI grannies and they're just going round in circles with themselves. Like, that's going to happen eventually, isn't it?
It'll solve a problem.
They can just talk amongst themselves. We'll get the real scammers back.
And every now and again, someone just listens in like, yep, still going. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, it's been 3 years now and they're still in a loop.
Still trying to give him that cup of tea and he's still trying to get her viruses.
But apparently there's not plans to roll it out on a wider scale. They just said that the project was aimed at raising awareness.
What's the point then?
So I guess maybe it is a possibility, also showing, you know, how common it can be to be scammed on the phone. Maybe, I guess, also releasing the calls, people can hear those calls so that if they get one, they're like, oh, I know that this is definitely a scam call.
Yeah.
But I would quite like it if they did develop it. And then, like you say, if it was something you could turn on your phone, like, enable Daisy.
Literally, if I knew it was a scam number, because I usually Google them and it'll tell me if it's real or not afterwards, and they carry on calling, I could just be like, right, let's send out the big guns, Daisy, deployed.
Wouldn't it be great if when you got a call in, you could have like answer, decline, or send to Daisy?
Yeah. Or like whoever you choose to handle that for you. Honestly.
Yeah, you can have different versions. You could have a grandma, or maybe you could have a little kid, mm-hmm. and they're like, oh, can you put mum on the phone? It's like, oh, yeah. And then it's like, oh, do you want to hear what I did for school today? Or something like that. Like, you can have loads of different versions.
Yeah.
Or you could have someone where they're like, pretend to not speak the language, so they just talk in a completely different language the whole time. The possibilities are endless.
I like it. Maybe that's one for us to make. Who knows?
Yeah.
That's cool, though. I like it. We're actually going to move on to talk about games, I think, now.
Yeah,
this is cool.
I really liked the sound of this story.
Yeah, it just reminds me of when we used to go to immersive experiences at the cinema. So smelling in video games to make them more immersive is the title. Now, you know, well, I'm guessing most listeners will have played a modern video game, and mm-hmm. they are so realistic now. They sound realistic. You can even use the virtual reality ones as well. So imagine you're playing Mario and you're just going through the game and you can smell the flowers.
It'd be so amazing.
As like a flower power-up hits you, right? So basically starting to use your different senses in games is what's happening. Now, I remember going to Disneyland when I was little, and you go to like the immersive cinema there. I think, I can't remember if it was Honey, I Shrunk the Kids or whatever, and rain just falls on you.
Yes, I remember that.
Do you remember
I remember that. It was so good.
So I guess it's kind of like starting to explore different senses inside video games rather than just like audio visual. Now we're getting, do you say it like olfactory? Is that how we say it?
Olfactory, yeah.
So we're getting that. Maybe one day we'll get taste, who knows? And then I guess they've started looking into like haptic feedback as well. But this is focusing on smelling in video games and how they're going to do this. So would you be interested in using something like this just to start off with?
I think so. I had a Quest 2 for a while, so the Meta headset, and I did really enjoy it. I think it's a fun like way to play games that feels immersive, and I do like those kind of like open world video games are so detailed now.
I love them.
And I reckon some of them it would be fun. I do think some of them would smell bad, like
Call of Duty.
Yeah, Call of Duty, stinky. Red Dead Redemption 2 is one of my favourite games of all time, and most of the time you're a dirty cowboy and you're just around horses, so that wouldn't smell very good. But Candy Crush, can you imagine that? That would smell amazing.
Oh my gosh, you'd be addicted. But yeah, so I was just seeing how this actually works. They've got a custom-made headset, and that delivers tiny doses of smell pumped through a tube, and it's dispersed via a fan in front of the player. So it seems very obvious how that should work. And it uses bottles of essential oils to replicate all these different aromas. So I'm intrigued to see how many aromas you can create from essential oils and whether they're accurate.
Have you seen, you know, the kind of like 4D cinema experiences, the main smell that they do is it smells a bit like marmalade.
Yeah.
And that's kind of all that they did. So it's limited.
Yeah.
So hopefully this is a wider range.
Do you remember the Fatberg talk of how they're creating the pine scent perfume? Maybe it all ties in.
Maybe it all ties in together. Maybe they can use a Fatberg for when you're walking through a forest and you get that pine smell. The researchers were demoing at Warwick University. It was developed in conjunction with Hollywood Gaming. They're saying the real challenge is being able to switch between the smells as the game progresses. So, you know, if you've got like a quick transition, like you've had a flashback or something, and then you've still got that lingering smell. But I guess that's just like a fine-tuning thing, isn't it? It's just, it'd be about when you just, you know, deploy those smells.
Yeah, when you pump out the smell.
Yeah, like you're doing like a little one so that it fades quickly because you know timing-wise you've got
a big one coming up.
But like audio integration into gaming is obviously such a huge thing of making sure that that's all seamless and realistic and your footprints meld in and you've got the music and everything. There's so much software and hard work that goes into that. So maybe we're just going to see this kind of approach taken to smells and you'd have smell integration where they're working out how to fine tune it so it all blends seamlessly.
I think it's possible. Like I was saying, they tried it out with a racing game where you'd get the smell of petrol in front of the nose while racing. You hit the brakes, you get plasticky rubber, and you get the new car smell also while you're playing. So there's definitely room for this to be developed further, I think, especially when, like you mentioned, we've got so much that we can do with sound now. This is just the beginning of what we could do with smell. And I'm sure once they get around how to sort of package it up and get those smells more accurate and get them sort of moving from one to the other as the game progresses, like, I think that's going to be solved.
Also, imagine, you know how some of the best bits of playing a game is designing your character?
Yes.
Now you could pick how they smell as well.
Oh my gosh, yeah, that'd be cool.
So then you could have like a waft of you as you move around. Mm-hmm. You'd be like, oh yeah, I'm playing a dark druid, so they're going to smell kind of musky and sandalwood-like.
And a fairy would smell it. I don't know, I was about to say sparkly. How do you smell sparkly? That didn't help, this combo. Yeah.
Lemongrass. Mm-hmm.
I guess that ties into our last sort of discussion point of the day, which is The Sims turning 25, right?
I can't believe this. It makes me feel so old.
I know. But imagine being able to create The Sims and choose their perfume at the same time.
Oh, yeah, that would be so good. And when you're playing The Sims and as you're moving around, it's like, oh, I can smell fire. Oh, no, the house is on fire. Something like that. You can have so much fun. Smell. So far, not integrated into Sims, but they are celebrating their 25 years since its debut. EA Games, the company that designed the Sims, you know, they've released Sims 4 reasonably recently. It's played by 85 million people worldwide, translated into 18 languages. So, you know, it's still going strong. But to celebrate the 25 years, EA is releasing Sims and Sims 2 again. Because obviously, there's not many people that can still play that because of back compatibility issues. Used to be on CD-ROMs. I don't think it would run on most people's computers. Yeah. Most people's laptops don't even have a CD driver anymore. So yeah, so they're releasing it. So would you play it again?
100%. Like, I remember, I mean, I still think I've got Sims 4 on an account somewhere that I can just download and reinstall. Like, I played it over the pandemic quite a bit. I'm not going to lie. My thing with The Sims, though, I loved building houses. That was what I really enjoyed. Like, I played the game, but for some reason, I just really liked all of the sort of design aspects of it. Yeah. What about you?
Yeah, I would absolutely play again. I spent hours on Sims. The original Sims is really the only one that I played. Sims 2, because it was more 3D, really messed with my brain. I'm not very good at 3D, like, spatial puzzles and stuff. So for some reason, the way that it, like, you could move around in the space, like, weirded my brain out. But the original Sims, I used to have all the expansion packs. So I had...
Same.
Making Magic. I had Unleashed, the Pets one.
Oh, that was my fave.
That was my fave with the little puppies. So I had cute. The Holiday one. So used to love it. But I was exactly the same. Like, you know, I would log on. And I'd be like, oh, should I go play with this house and this family that I spent 3 hours on last time? No, I'm going to start from the beginning again.
Yeah, I used to do that all the time. Then my brother was more evil on it. Like, he'd be the one taking out the stairs from the swimming pool and, like, setting things on fire and moving doors. Like, I would, like, try not to use the cheat codes as well.
Would
I was
you?
Like, no, I'm going to do this properly. I used to eventually, but I caved.
I would always use the cheat codes, particularly the Rosebud cheat code, so that I could get loads of money. But that was kind of...
Rosebud and Motherload.
Yeah, Motherload. So I used to use that a lot. I did used to move some stuff, but I used to try and do it for good. Like, one of the things that I would do is I would, if the car came to take my Sim to work... And my Sim was running late. I used to move the car into a room with no doors and no exits so that the car couldn't leave, so that my Sim could get to work on time. And there was one time where the social securities...
I didn't even know you could do that.
Yeah, social securities came to take the child and I just locked that person in a room. But it turns out after a while they will just disappear with a puff of smoke with the baby. So actually childcare in Sims is more important.
There's so many random stuff in Sims. Do you remember the Grim Reaper just coming to collect your Sim, but you could plead for their life?
Yes, I had that problem once when one of my Sims, I put a rocket in one of the rooms and I didn't realise what it was. I just thought it was like a toy or whatever. And I got one of the Sims to set it off inside. That didn't go well.
This is giving me flashbacks. Maybe I need to like play it just to celebrate.
Yeah, I think so. I think we should all do it. If you're listening and you love The Sims as well, let's all get on it this weekend and have a little reminisce.
Yeah, message us and let us know what you end up doing, if you do good, bad, and if you use the cheat codes.
Yeah.
See if Naomi's tips help.
Right, that's all of our stories that we're going through today. Thank you so much for listening to Tech Girl Energy, the weekly debrief. If people want to find us on socials, Harriet, where are we?
We are Tech Girl Energy on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube Shorts, we're on Facebook, and we're also on Threads. We've nearly hit 1K on TikTok, so make sure you go follow us on there.
Yeah, maybe you'll be our 1,000th follower.
Yeah, exciting.
See you next week.
This has been an I Am Listening exclusive podcast. For more information, head over to our website, iam-listening.co.uk.